You're on Access the Story Radio with Trav Johnson. We're talking about faith formation, culture, and the story of God. Follow us on accessthestory.com or follow me on travjohnson.com. I don't know why, but the reception for Ali's office is on level 2. And this is the first of 4 key meetings for me with practitioners in the mental health sector. And the first venue has me climbing 2 flights of stairs before returning down another flight to the meeting rooms, walking up 2 flights of stairs to check in, then descending halfway for the meeting. Feels a bit strange, but I go with it. And I'm hoping that the up-down nature of my entry isn't some sort of metaphor for the ensuing conversations. 2 counsellors in a faith-based care organisation, a clinical psychologist operating in 3 community centres in the southern suburbs, a respected family therapist with over 45 years' experience, and a psychologist program director with the Mental Health Coalition of South Australia. It's hard to say whether I'm excited or anxious in exploring the question of my own relevance and the relevance of my project to the sector. Whichever it is, excited or anxious, I come to my first meeting a little breathless. The journey up the stairs might be partly to blame, but the uncomfortable question of my own relevancy is also bubbling away not too far under the surface. My concerns are quickly dispelled as Ali comes up the stairs to usher me back down, and the same with Paul even after I spill my coffee nearly all over him, and Malcolm as we reminisce about the 80s together, and Molly as she passionately shares her heart for people in the regional areas of South Australia. If my background in church ministry might generate some suspicion or caution, but in each case their friendly yet professional demeanour puts me at ease. Some small talk ensues, then at a moment where it's clear that I'm the one who requested the meeting, I jump in and tell some of my story. After over 30 years of church-based youth work and leadership, I give some short insight into my own burnout after caring for my kids with their experiences of mental ill health. 2022, do I continue in Christian work? 2023, do I have the support that's required? And then 2024, how does my skill set, capacity, and experience intersect with the needs of people? The Resolute Love Project seeks to hold space for parents supporting young people with mental health distress through lived experience practice. And I tell them that I've come to talk with them today to learn. Tell me something about what you do, perhaps a little bit of why and the barriers or pathways that you're navigating. There are unsung heroes among us, people supporting a young person as they navigate mental health struggles. They long for so much for their person, including a growing skill in organising feelings when they need it most. Because when your person experiences swirling emotions, you can be at a loss to know what to do or say. I know what that's like, wondering how to create the best environment for my child when they are dysregulated. That's why I've developed the Getting Through Workshop, a 90-minute lived experience reflection on how to help my person organise their feelings. You can register for the upcoming session now at workshop.resolute.today. Who knows, it might open up a whole new space for interaction. Workshop.resolute.today. Tell me something about what you do, perhaps a little bit of why and the barriers or pathways that you're navigating. And I'm surprised by the generosity that's shown when I request them to tell some of their story. Not only generosity in their time and their expertise, but also referrals to agencies and people and ideas and experiences, not without weariness or warning of some of the load that's carried in the sector, but still they have passion and buoyancy over the possibilities of seeing people supported when there's a commitment to communities of care over tribalism and old school professionalism. And with each conversation comes significant insight and also a sense of connection emerging as they watch me grapple with my own questions. Is the Resolute Love Project relevant? As I hear the trends around anxiety among young women and anger among young men, the need for psychoeducation, as it's called, among parents, the history of the mental health sector in the state, the place of the church in the midst of that, and the priority of best practices across a variety of disciplines. Five questions emerge for me. Is there a need? Who am I serving? Where do I fit in the sector? What does legitimacy look like? And how does spiritual health factor in? Let me give a response to each of these questions from these four conversations. See, these are my learnings so far when it comes to the question of the relevance of the Resolute Love Project. Question one, is there a need? And I guess I wouldn't be this far down the road if I didn't think the answer to this question is a resounding yes. But my conversations thus far are revealing the nature of that need. Statistics of mental health are one thing, but when the story of experience is allowed to be told, a fuller and more complex picture begins to emerge. An example of this is the closure of traditional mental health institutions around the year 2000. Up until this point in our history, people experiencing emotional dysregulation were often housed in these institutions. And then they're closed. And then another 17 years transpires before the government launches the alternative funding mechanism for this portion of the population through the NDIS. Some of us might be familiar with that term. Now, according to Malcolm, schools are the institutions currently that are navigating the lion's share of dysregulation in our communities. It was mental health institutions. Now, he would say the institutions are schools. And that's both with children and adults. And then he comments more particularly Christian schools. Yes, the onset and reliance upon social media might contribute to the prevalence of mental ill health, but there is also more to the story. Is there a need? There always has been a need to care for those experiencing dysregulation in the human population. Now it's just more visible. And our capacity for compassionate response as a society is being tested and stretched. Is there a need? Yes, there is. There are unsung heroes among us, people supporting a young person as they navigate mental health struggles. They long for so much for their person, including a growing skill in organising feelings when they need it most. Because when your person experiences swirling emotions, you can be at a loss to know what to do or say. I know what that's like, wondering how to create the best environment for my child when they are dysregulated. That's why I've developed the Getting Through Workshop, a 90-minute lived experience reflection on how to help my person organise their feelings. You can register for the upcoming session now at workshop.resolute.today. Who knows, it might open up a whole new space for interaction. Workshop.resolute.today. Question two, who am I serving? And I've already determined that the people I'm seeking to support are household carers, particularly parents who feel stuck, wondering how they might cope or waiting for further assistance. Danielle speaks of the missing middle. She acknowledges that in the mental health sector, good ground is being made in early intervention and in crisis care. Kind of the extreme ends of the sector, if you like. But the largest gap is the average family who are stuck in the middle. Either the degree of their experience doesn't register in the system, not serious enough perhaps, or they can't afford the gap cost in professional care, and so they're stuck. Who am I serving? Well, I think the Resolute Love Project can contribute to a response for the missing middle. Third question is this: where do we fit in the sector? Some of my self-talk has been for me to stay in my lane with a background in Christian ministry. What value can I hope to bring to the mental health sector? Shouldn't I just leave the professionals to it? But what I'm finding is that the professionals are welcoming a multidisciplinary approach to therapeutic care. One of the big themes in both my studies and my conversations with Paul and Malcolm has been around how the pedestal mentality is a huge barrier to care. And what's interesting is that the DNA of my organisation, Access the Story, has always been about dismantling the pedestal and learning alongside one another. And this has helped me to see how the project complements current approaches to mental health care, and we can naturally move toward referral or perhaps even provision of professional support in the future. Where do we fit in the sector? Resolute Love can become an on-ramp into best practice therapeutic care through a lived experience support approach. The fourth question is this: what does legitimacy look like? If this project is seeking to support the missing middle and become an on-ramp toward professional care, then it could be argued that we sit in uncharted territory when it comes to things like insurance and compliance. And we're insured as a ministry organisation, but there's no obvious pathway for development or supervision. This is where the discipline of peer support is helpful. The mental health sector is increasingly seeing the value of lived experience workers, and the Mental Health Coalition of South Australia is committed to developing consistency in best practice in that discipline. Molly is a program manager with the Lived Experience Workforce Program and has pointed me in the right direction for upskilling, supervision, and organisational compliance as our project develops. What does legitimacy look like? Resolute Love can participate in best practice as part of the Lived Experience Workforce. There are unsung heroes among us. People supporting a young person as they navigate mental health struggles. They long for so much for their person, including a growing skill in organising feelings when they need it most. Because when your person experiences swirling emotions, you can be at a loss to know what to do or say. I know what that's like. Wondering how to create the best environment for my child when they are dysregulated. That's why I've developed the Getting Through Workshop, a 90-minute lived experience reflection on how to help my person organise their feelings. You can register for the upcoming session now at workshop.resolute.today. Who knows, it might open up a whole new space for interaction. workshop.resolute.today. Question is this: how does spiritual health factor in? One might be forgiven for misunderstanding this project as a movement away from spiritual formation, aka discipleship, and toward the priority of mental health at the expense of telling the Jesus story. While there's a broadening of language and approach, the heart of this project remains as an expression of God's heart with the intent of revealing who Jesus is. And this is why I've included a Jesus-centered backdrop as part of the approach. Coinciding with this is the acknowledgement that the etymology or the word makeup of the word psychology is the study of the soul, as pointed out to me by Paul in his work with life clubs here in Adelaide's southern suburbs. He's introduced me to some thinking around soul talk and how my work so far with Access a Story might complement some of his work. So watch this space. So how does spiritual health factor in? Resolute Love can provide a pathway to soul talk. So in what way is the Resolute Love project relevant? How might my experience, capacity, and skill set intersect with the needs found in the mental health sector? Well, there is still a vast chasm of unknowns in seeking to answer that question. And there is also a deep void being experienced by many people in our communities. But there are also some really good people seeking to be a part of responding to people's needs. And I'm grateful for their generosity in helping me answer my own questions of relevance, who we might serve, where we fit, and what we bring to the table. I'm sure there will be ups and downs, like the flights of stairs in Ali's workplace, but I'm hopeful for the opportunities that Resolute Love might bring. You're on Access the Story Radio with Trav Johnson. We're talking about faith formation, culture, and the story of God. Follow us on accessthestory.com or follow me on travjohnson.com.